Oh yeah.
Children of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Red and yellow, black and white.
That's what I'm talking about.
Everything is beautiful.
This is Reverse Deception Radio on the Veritas Radio Network, Crusade Channel.
Like a starry summer.
Good day. This is Gregory Carpenter, and we're going to talk about a couple of topics near and dear to my heart. But first, all of those iPhone users out there, go grab your iPhone and have it ready for segment two. That's where I'm going to be showing you things you never knew about. And, well, quite honestly, might make you cry. But don't worry, it'll be tears of joy because we're going to be exploring and locking down the different parts of iPhones that are very problematic. But first, let's go shopping. Did you ever wonder about pricing and whether or not you're getting a good deal? Well, there are only a few places where you're going to get your money's worth, and one of them is right here at the Veritas Radio Network. When you become a founder's member, you have a few options. You can pay monthly, you can pay annually, you can be a founding brother, you can be a founding father, you can sign up for the Crusader. I think the Crusader is a pretty good deal because you get a book signed by Mike Church, you get a book signed by Dr. Gutzman, you get one by David Simpson, you get one from Dr. George, and you get Reverse Deception from me. Plus, you get all the other good stuff that you get with all the other memberships. You're going to love being a member. You get access to everything in the world, plus all the books. You really need to check into it and come support us today in this effort. So talk about getting your money's worth. You're definitely getting your money's worth with the Veritas Radio Network. So what are other ways that you could actually put your money to good use? Well, how about putting it into a collectional plate at the church or donating it to your synagogue? Now, that's where you're really going to get your bang for your buck. And that's a good thing, too, because pretty much everywhere else you go, you're going to get ripped off. Almost everywhere else, yes, indeed. Buying, selling, advertising, it's all about social psychology. When I became a recruiter for the Army, I was sent to school for 6 weeks. What did I learn? I learned behavior. I learned psychology. I learned how to close a deal. Everything I needed to propagandize young men and young women and give them feedback as to exactly what they wanted to hear. For example, hey, Johnny. Hey, Sergeant Carpenter, how you doing? I'm doing okay, Johnny. How are you? I am doing very well. Johnny, I'm here representing the Army. Oh, I'm not interested. Oh, why not? There's many benefits in the Army. I'm not interested. I'm going to go to college. Oh, did you know you can get money for college? Yeah, well, and then you start telling them all about the college money. Or some kids just want to come in and serve their country. Others want to get a skill. So they're going to go to trade school, and you tell them the Army gives them a trade school. See, it's all about how you present it, how you package it. Social psychology. It's where you study thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and how you're able to influence them by actual, imagined, or implied activities, offers, thoughts, feelings. It's pretty amazing stuff. And it works specifically when we're talking about you going out to buy something. So you're heading out, you get to the mall, which has been scientifically arranged for the best shopping experience for targeted shoppers. Guys, that's not you. Home Depot, Lowe's, Ace Hardware, those stores are arranged more towards a male psychology on how a male would shop. But the mall, forget it, not your department. Grocery shopping, not your department. You can't find stuff in there, guys, half the time. Isn't that right? And why is that? Because it's not intuitively set up for you. It's intuitively set up for a lady. You go to Target, you go to Macy's, Sears, all these places set up for a woman shopper, designed to maximize the retailer's cash flow and designed to take every penny out of your pocket. But something's happened over the last few years. There's so many choices, so many options now. Baskin Robbins used to have, what, 3 flavors? Vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. Now they have 21 flavors, 35 flavors, 75,000 flavors. That comes and really makes it difficult for people who have a hard time with making decisions. Even people that can make decisions are caught in something called decision fatigue. And that is where you have the quality of a decision deteriorates over time and complexity of the decision. So when you have lots of choices and lots of things to choose from, you start to go, oh, gosh, I want a little bit of that. I want that one. I want, you know. And then you eventually end up settling for something you will like, but you'll look back and you'll say, well, I could have had the Rocky Road. I could have had the strawberry fondue. I could have had a V8 ice cream. I could have had a whole bunch of other things. And you start feeling this remorse, buyer's remorse. We'll get into that a little bit later. But simplifying it back down to a binary or a one or the other concept, you still have to make a decision. So there's a psychology paradox called Buridan's Ass, and it's about a donkey. But the donkey, because of his limited thinking ability, is hungry and thirsty. And the paradox goes, if the donkey is placed equidistant between food and water, a bucket on either side of him, the donkey will stand there unable to decide, because the donkey is hungry and the donkey is thirsty, the donkey will be unable to decide which way to go. And the donkey, without making the decision, will die, dies of hunger. How many people out there are like that? You feel the burden of a decision. You have 17 types of North Face jackets to buy. Which one will I get today? Does anybody ever ask the question, do I need another stinking jacket? I've got 7, 8, 9 of them in the closet already. 2 in boxes in the attic and 16 in the basement. So now you're faced with something called the paradox of choice. You're stuck. You have to make choices. You have lots of information because what do you have? You have information overload. Especially in today's world, we have tons and tons of information out there. Email. When email first came out, it was supposed to make everything more simple, make it easier to communicate between offices. Now, I receive emails from people sitting at a desk right next to me when they could simply just turn around and face me. Hey, Greg. Hey, what's up? Can you grab the such and such file? I sure can. No, they can't even do that anymore. And I get text messages from people 2 doors down from my office. Why? They would rather sit and type something in than get up and walk around, circulate your blood. I don't know, maybe decrease the possibility of embolisms in your legs, deep vein thrombosis, or other medical disorders that could end your life from sitting around too much. So you've got choice overload, too many ideas, too difficult to make a decision when faced with many, many, many options. How do you deal with this? How do you work your way through? There is so much you have to go through and you have to siphon through and you have to limit the amount of information involved in making a decision, or you're never going to make that decision. If you're just joining us, this is Greg Carpenter, Reverse Deception Radio, and we're talking about how to purchase, advertising, and choices, and how your choices are, well, let's just call them not really your choices. What? What do you mean, Greg? What are you talking about? How can that possibly be? I made the choice. Yeah, you think you did, and that's good. I'm real proud for you. I'm glad you thought you made a choice. But you didn't. You didn't. Many companies today will do the same types of things. They're called propaganda techniques, and they're used in advertising all the time. You don't know it, because you're not in advertising. You don't do this stuff. This is not you. You go in there thinking you're getting an honest deal, and you're really not. You're getting taken to the cleaners. How much do you think it costs to make a McDonald's hamburger that gets sold for, what is it, 89 cents, 99 cents, a dollar, something like that? How much do you think it really costs? If it costs them much more than 14 or 15 cents to make one of those things, they're not going to be able to make money. That's the value of a McDonald's hamburger, maybe 15 cents. And you're paying a buck for it. Yeah, who's getting ripped off? So I'm going to go over some propaganda techniques so you become familiar with them, so you're aware when you're being propagandized by advertisers or, politicians. This is a great time, right, to dig through politicians' double talk.
I think all right-thinking people in this country are sick and tired of being told that ordinary decent people are fed up in this country with being sick and tired.
Yeah.
I am certainly not. Well, I'm sick and tired being told that I am.
Lady Hadley Jones?
Well, I meet a lot of people, and I'm convinced that the vast majority of wrong-thinking people are right.
And really get a feel for some of the propaganda that they're putting out there. So if you've seen these techniques, you've heard of them, you might have used them, not knowing what they were. Feel free, send me an email, gscarp12@hotmail.com, or send me a note on the Twitter, @gscarp12. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to get your take on this stuff to see how familiar are you with propaganda. Now, don't forget, for segment two, I need you to get those iPhones out, right? So you can and get a box of Kleenex, too, by the way. You're probably going to need it. So what's one technique? I mean, there's literally dozens of techniques of propaganda. Let's talk about, let's take appeal to prejudice, okay? It's when you use emotion to attach value or moral goodness to believing a proposition over another or over the status quo. You're going to be a better person if you're not biased. You're going to be a better person if you don't discriminate against this group or that group. You realize that in medicine, doctors have to discriminate all the time. They have to. They have to be prejudiced. They have to be biased. They have to make decisions. When you look at a blood test, if you don't know that a guy is black or white and you see indicators of sickle cell anemia, that tells you probability, one thing higher than another. And you could literally do that to numerous ethnic-related diseases. That's how you figure out how to save somebody's life. Don't tell me about Black Lives Matter. Don't tell me about Green Lives. I don't care. People matter. I'm gonna start a campaign. I'm gonna start Dead Lives Matter. That's what I'm gonna do. So look for that hashtag coming up. I'm gonna use that all the time.
In the past year, over 800,000 Americans have died. Despite millions of dollars of research, death continues to be our nation's number one killer.
So anytime you use that moral argument, you're talking about using propaganda, because moral value. I'm better than you because you're biased. You're prejudiced. You know what? If somebody can walk into a store and buy something, they're prejudiced because they didn't pick a different store. Why can't the person selling the goods be prejudiced and say no? My values don't allow me to do business with you. Okay, that's a good one. Bandwagon approach. It's also called the axiom of inevitable victory. So if you think that everybody, you know, it's the old thing where your mom said, you know, if everyone jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge, would you jump off the Brooklyn Bridge too? Well, maybe you will, if the argument's good enough. Yeah, you sure will. There's black and white fallacy. You know, it has to be either one or the other, the old George Bush, either you're with us or you're against us, you know. How'd that work out for you, George? You can cherry pick, right? There's the inevitable cognitive dissonance that everyone talks about, right? Common man propaganda theme. You know, I appeal to the common man, or this is the product of the common man. The cult of personality, right, is another good one. Euphemisms. Or euphoria. Things like that are very common in propaganda. How about Uncle Sam? He wants you. Sure he does. Or Mark Kreslins talks about it all the time. The sign that's on top of the IRS building. Taxes are what we pay for a civilized society. Okay, so the revolutionary government was not civilized. The government of Texas, the government of Kentucky, the government of Florida, all these states that don't require taxes, they're not civilized. They need the feds to come in and force them to pay tax so that they can be civilized. Yeah, that's what we call contrapositive. That's just ridiculous. Anyway, there's numerous types of propaganda, and you've seen them before. You know, the salesman does a good one, foot in the door technique. Well, you can get in, you know, and you can work your way out, or you can, when you start a new job, well, you get your foot in the door, you know, you can get in here working for a lousy job, making lousy money, right? Flag waving is another really good one. That's where you get out there and you wave the old red, white, and blue, the stars and straps. Yes, indeed. You're feeling good, right? You're all patriotic. Propaganda, hello. of course, there's half-truths and labeling, things like that. A red herring is another good one. Look over here while you look over there. You know, this thing over here is not really the truth, and everybody's looking at it because it is the truth, but it's completely irrelevant to the argument at hand. But they're having everyone look at that. Let's look at Hillary's hair color, because that matters about Benghazi. Okay. Stereotyping is a good one. Rationalization, well, you know, it kind of makes sense. Taking quotes out of context is another good one. The straw man argument. The straw man argument is perfect propaganda. Folks, look into it, please. I only get an hour each week on the show, but you folks have the opportunity. Go back, take this stuff. Go back and take a look at it, please. Unstated assumptions, right? Because if you completely state what the assumption is or what it is you want to do, people look at you like, I don't know about that. Another good one, one of my favorites, is the third party technique, the axiom of third parties. That's where you can say, well, this is third party information. They took it and they gave it to us, and our people didn't do this. It was somebody else. We got this from somewhere else. Perhaps the media is used as a third party. Lots of opportunities when you're talking about propaganda. One of my favorites, though, and I saved this for last, is called the decoy effect. I love this because everybody falls for this. Every time you get into a store, you're getting decoyed big time. Let's go to fast food. This is one of my favorites. Fast food is the easiest one in the world because what we're talking, there's a complex term. It's called asymmetric dominance, and we're going to get into that in a second. But the decoy effect is basically one product is sold for one price and another product is sold for a higher price. And research has shown that most of the time people will go for the cheaper item because they can save money. Why do you think they bundle the sandwich with the fries and the drink? You think you're getting a better value, don't you? So you got three sizes of drinks now, don't you? Why do you have three sizes of drinks? Asymmetric dominance. If you want people to purchase the larger drink, you have one drink for a dollar, one drink for $3. And in the middle, you put a third drink and you make it $2.50. That way, the cheap drink, nobody wants that because that's small. And people have the assumption or the presumption that they saved 50 cents by getting the largest drink possible because it's only 50 cents more. This happens with popcorn at theaters. This happens now that you have the packaged meals, right? Or the combo platters. You can get the fries, the sandwich, and the drink. You can also get that in small, medium, and large, can't you? Because you have the presumption of saving money that you just spent. You didn't save a thing. And it happens all around. And of course, if somebody wants to still purchase, say, let's take computer hard drives. Say you can get 1 terabit hard drive for $100. And they're selling a 5 terabit hard drive for $300. And you make a third one, a 4 terabit hard drive for $300 also. Well, you don't want people to buy that one too much. So you make it orange or you make it neon yellow or something that is distinctly appalling to the people who figured out they're getting ripped off, and they won't buy it either. So you'll end up buying the inferior product, even though it has more storage. It's probably an inferior product. You've been had. Now let's pose a question called the Monty Hall problem. So many people might have heard of this. You know, Monty Hall used to be on TV and he had a great show called Let's Make a Deal. And he would show three curtains and behind one, there was something, behind two, there was something else, and behind a third, there was something else. For our example, let's just say there's a car behind one of the doors and there's a goat behind the other two. So he asks a question, person answers it. They open one door. Now, you've already selected a door. Let's say you select number one, and they open it up, and a goat is behind number three. What's the chances of you opening up one of the other two doors and getting a car? If you said 50%, you're wrong. What? What did you? What? It's all in the math. If you took the option of choosing the door other than the one that Monty Hall, that you had taken from Monty Hall in the first place, you would have a 66% chance of winning the car, as opposed to 33% chance of winning the car if you did not change your door in the first place. Oh my goodness, that's right. All those people that went on that game show, they felt like, oh, I got to hold on to this one. I got to hold on to this one. But the answer really was you get rid of that one and you choose the other one. That's where the real prize is. And it was all about social psychology and behavior. And the people that made the game show knew that people would not select the other door. Just another way to separate you from your money. On the way out of the first segment here, some cognitive dissonance. A little bit of buyer's remorse. After I bought the product, emotional response. I was in despair. I resented it. I felt disappointed with myself. I felt scared. I felt hollow. I felt angry. I felt uneasy. I felt I'd let myself down. I felt annoyed. I felt frustrated. I was in pain. I felt depressed. I felt furious with myself. I felt sick. I was in agony. Wisdom of purchase. I wonder if I really need this product. I wonder whether I should have bought anything at all. I wonder if I've made the right choice. I wonder if I've done the right thing in buying this product. Concern over deal. I wonder if I've been fooled. I wonder if they had spun me a line. I wonder whether there was something wrong with the deal I got. Don't doubt yourself. Make decisions, good logical decisions, on guidance from God. I'm Gregory Carpenter.
This is Reverse Deception Radio on the Veritas Radio Network, Crusade Channel.
We're giving you 5 minutes to gather the Pentagon-sized pile of scales that's fallen from your eyes. Reverse Deception. We'll be right back on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.